God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. We're continuing our sermon series entitled God's Comfort. Tonight we pick up God's comfort being given to you, especially when you cannot sleep. I do need to have my disclaimer or warning. This sermon may cause drowsiness. It's not considered a success if everyone's falling asleep when I say amen. But let me continue. Do you have nights where you toss and turn all night in bed, unable to sleep? Maybe because the mind is racing a little too much. Maybe there's too many worries or anxieties. Well, the idea behind this message for tonight should hopefully give you some comfort and some encouragement for nights when your mind just won't stop, almost like that Energizer battery, bang, 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 and keep on going. God's comfort is for you at all times, even at night when you might be wrestling with your anxieties. And God knows a little bit about wrestling. In Genesis chapter 32, we hear about one night where Jacob's heart was so full of anxiety because he would soon face his long-estranged brother Esau. And of course, he was having a restless night. He did all he could. He made all the preparations he possibly could, but yet the worry was still about him. He still was not sleeping. And before his face-to-face confrontation with Esau, Jacob figured, let me just spend the night alone. There was no one around him. But Jacob didn't quite realize it. We are never alone. In his word, God describes Jacob's night as an extremely intense wrestling match. That night, Jacob wrestled with an imposing power he considered unknown at first. And almost like an enemy came and tried to overtake him and even kill him. He didn't know who this person was at first. So the intensity was great. He didn't know whether he was going to be robbed or killed. His life was at stake, so to speak. Perhaps you can identify with Jacob. Especially when the concerns of your day almost turns into a nightmare, so to speak, at night. The darkness of night causes the daily challenges almost to become like monsters in your mind. You know how kids, as they are little, sometimes are afraid of the dark, afraid of what's lying behind the shadows. As adults, we don't necessarily have those fears, per se. Our fears are a little bit more complex. What will tomorrow bring? This story of Jacob's wrestling in the night will become an increasing blessing to you. I hope you remember as Jacob wrestles in the night, the next time you are also wrestling in the night, maybe not necessarily physically, but mentally and spiritually. Because we also need to understand who we are wrestling with. Jacob was wrestling with God. Now, who are we wrestling with in the deep darkness of our mind? Strangely enough, Luther would say, you're also wrestling with God, but in a different way. God may be wrestling with you, actually allowing you, so to speak, to toss and turn in your hardships. Why? Luther has a very interesting take on this. And Luther also had many sort of like sleepless nights. He had many struggles with God, so to speak. He explains it as like an earthly father may want to, quote unquote, play with his son. Luther would say, God plays with you. So let me read from Luther for a moment. God plays with his child to discipline and strengthen his faith, just as a godly parent takes from his son an apple with which the boy was delighted, not that he should flee from his father or turn away from him, but that he should rather be incited to embrace his father all the more. It's almost like an enticement here. I'm putting my words here to try to explain Luther. Luther's point of view is that God's sort of makes you wrestle with things is so that, are you going to wrestle back? Are you going to cling back to God and His saving promises? This isn't a wrestling to be mean, but a wrestling in a relationship to draw us closer. God never wants to play with people like the way a cat would play with a mouse. Rather, Luther, let me continue, explains it this way. God plays games with His children whom He loves in order to test and strengthen them. The idea here from God to you is to get the person to hold onto or firmly cling onto God's promises. Luther continues, according to the example of Jacob, God at times is accustomed to play with His saints, and as far as He Himself is concerned, with quite childish playing. But to us whom He tempts in this way, it appears far different. However, it is excellent and very salutary exercise and perfect instruction, and is blessed and with a very happy end, namely, one learns what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Now, you might be struggling again with Luther's interpretation here and thinking, God is bringing this wrestling match in my mind? Yeah. He wants to know, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to go to Him for help? Or are we going to run away in fear? Do we think we can solve our own problems? Or are we drawn to our Heavenly Father for support? Some people ask the question, well, why does He always seem to come to me at night? When I need the rest, I need the relaxation, I need the strength for the daytime hours. And that's kind of easy. During the day, we're usually distracted with many different things. Our mind isn't allowed to wander back in the deep parts. But at night, when things are quiet, and we are wanting to get rest, that's when the mind kicks in. And at night, God has your full attention. Or at least can get it a little bit more easily. If Luther's explanation of how God plays with you is a little difficult to understand or to accept, let me continue on with one more section of Luther. The marvelous counsels of God in governing His saints must be learned, and the hearts of the godly must become accustomed to them. When you have a promise of God, it will happen that the more you are loved by God, the more you will have it hidden, delayed, and turned into its opposite. For if God did not love you so exceedingly, He would not play with you in this manner. That is, He would not delay His promise and help and turn it into its opposite. These are the sure sign of a heart that is fatherly and burns with love for you. Thus a father, according to the flesh, who loves his son, plays with him and promises a small present. But he defers and pretends that he will refuse to do what he has promised. He does this because he loves his son very much and wants to give richly, provided that his son perseveres and overcomes the delay. In this way, God plays with us too. Now, I will admit, when I first read these words of Luther, I was sitting there thinking, that's a very positive spin to the various struggles that go on in my mind. Is God really wrestling with me? Well, the idea, again, as Luther is trying to point out, is that we are drawn closer to God. So in the midst of our wrestling, in the midst of our anxiousness, do we ever sit there and say, okay, God, help me settle my mind. Help me be calm. Help me be less anxious. Or do we sit there and fret and worry? Like worry will help settle our mind. Again, what do we do? In my preparations for this message, I will admit, I have failed this many times. Thinking that worry can help solve a problem, I lost many hours of sleep. Luther is trying to remind me and to remind you we need to return to God and His promises, because that is truly the source of our strength. But we also have to ask, another interesting, perplexing question. Would the devil also want to wrestle with us? And of course, the answer is yes. The devil can also trouble you and wrestle with you at night, causing you sleeplessness and despair. And so, when this comes, who's driving it? And where are they going with it? And the answer to that question is, it really doesn't matter who's driving it. Where do you want to go with it? If you internalize it and take it upon yourself, you are leaning more toward the devil's camp. If you go back to God and His promises and His Word, then you're back on God's side, so to speak. Let me continue with some words of Scripture from Matthew. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith! And therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seeking first his kingdom. We do that by clinging on to the fact that, yes, we were baptized. And in baptism, what happens? God, through his word, comes to us. Just like in Jacob, God comes to Jacob, and there's a name change. No longer Jacob now Israel. God comes to us, and there's a name change, not necessarily on our birth certificates, but upon our heart. Now we bear the name of God. A miracle, baptism is, through which God has given us and planted the faith within us. And faith is God's gift. And through his gift of faith, Jesus comes to live within you and fight the devil in you. Yes, there is a struggle. Even with our own flesh and blood, so we should not be a surprise that the struggle sometimes goes to our mind. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So what does your faith cling on to? The fact that through holy baptism the Holy Spirit is placed within you as God's gift? Do you cling on to that gift knowing that, yes, through Christ's death upon the cross, he has defeated sin, death, and the devil? Or do you think for your moment that the worries of this world can undo Jesus and him crucified for you? What do you believe and trust in? Seek first his kingdom, Matthew tells us. Go regularly, as we will in a few moments, to the supper of our Lord, where we will receive strength, Christ's forgiveness for everyday life. And it is here that God strengthens your faith, comforts you in the most difficult times, and because of his victory, which is in him, he gives of himself and his victory for you, even in the darkest times. Now, I am happy to say that at this moment, no one has fallen asleep in my sermon. There was only one time I remember one particular acolyte who, after a very busy day, when I started my sermon on a Saturday evening, immediately conked out and went to sleep. But that's okay. She had a very busy day. Needless to say, I sometimes joke with people and say, if you really have problems with insomnia, I have over 4 years of sermons on the internet. Download a few years or two. That'll put you to sleep. I hope, I don't know, at least according to the stats on my website, no one has really taken it seriously. But, in all fun and games, those messages and the messages of God's Word should provide that comfort. Should settle our minds knowing that, yes, God does care for us. He does love for us. And yes, He knows that daily we are in contact with the devil. And daily we're going to have that struggle. No, we're not going to be meeting him walking down the street with him wearing a red suit and a pitchfork. We don't need to go that far. Just when we turn off the lights and our mind seems wide. So at that time, we cling onto God's Word. Why we were baptized. Why we gather to hear this Word. Because we need strength. So the next time that your mind is wandering and you're not getting much sleep, the next time it seems that you're wrestling with the thoughts in your mind, think of the wrestling match that Jacob had. He was wrestling with God. God was wanting him to cling on to God for strength, for protection, for assurance. We need to cling on to God because He is our hope. He will give you strength. He says, don't worry about the things of this world. Worry about the things of God. Yes, that is very challenging, but God will help us. So this day, we give great praise and thanks to God. We ask Him to send us His comfort, God's comfort, which comforts us in a way that the world cannot. God's comfort does extend to you in all matters of life. Even when you cannot sleep, you are not alone, but God is with you. So let us remember Jacob. And as he successfully wrestled with God, God changed his name to Israel. We also remember God has changed our name. As we were baptized in His name, we now bear the name of God. We bear His victory. We win the wrestling match by clinging on to Christ and Him crucified. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all your understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.